Hi, how's it going, everybody? And welcome to the Debutify podcast, the premier e-commerce podcast brought to you by Debutify. I'm your host, Alex Bond, and joining me today is Justin Sardi, the CEO and co-founder of TubeSift, a YouTube ads targeting tool that empowers users to set up high-performing video ad campaigns quickly by taking the manual work out of finding precision-targeted monetized placements for YouTube advertising campaigns. On this episode, Justin and I discuss Video Ad Vault, YouTube videos versus podcasts, the demographics of YouTube, and much more. Here's our interview now. Justin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, very happy to have you. So first off, why don't you tell me a little bit about TubeSift?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been doing online marketing since maybe 2012. I was doing a lot of affiliate marketing, and I started doing YouTube advertising and running a lot of affiliate campaigns on YouTube using YouTube ads before anybody was really doing it. And, you know, you still can, but they changed it up a bit. But long story short, you used to be able to pick which videos you were going to put your ads in front of and do it very effectively and scale a lot. Like I said, you still can. It got a little more tricky, but, you know, I was basically finding videos, like product review videos for The Amazing Selling Machine, for example, was one of the first products that I was promoting. And I would find all these people with review videos. And then I would tell Google, hey, I want to put my ad in front of these videos. And I would just be like, hey, if you're thinking of buying The Amazing Selling Machine, don't do it without this bonus. And people would be like, huh? And so I would steal traffic from these people, basically launch jacking, if you will. And I was doing that with placements. And there wasn't really a software that would allow you to, it was a manual process, like going through everything and finding every single video, copying and pasting URLs. So I teamed up with a developer buddy of mine, and we created a piece of software that basically did all of that work, found all those videos ranking for all those keywords in a matter of seconds instead of hours of manual work. So it's a targeting tool for YouTube advertisers. Really long way of putting that. But yeah, that's...
But I mean, that was a while ago, right? I mean, that was over a decade ago, to my knowledge.
We rolled that out in 2015.
So, okay. So pretty close.
But I was doing it in about 2013, 14. Yeah. And then I was like, hey, why is there not a software that does this? And it's still been around. And since then, we've rolled out basically a Facebook ad library, but for YouTube as well. So we focus a lot on the ad creative and what's working with YouTube ads now.
Because that's kind of the inverse, right? So TubeSift, users get the opportunity to pretty much find videos that are able to be monetized, like monetized videos to put ads on. And then Video Ad Vault, could you actually explain that to our audience? I feel like it's kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah, so Video Ad Vault's basically, I like to think of it as a Facebook ad library, but for YouTube. You know, Google has an ad library. It's kind of bad. I mean, you can see the videos, but you have no relevant data, right? You can't see the landing pages. You can't see how many views, you know, when it was published. Like, you don't have anything to go off of except for oh, this is a video ad these people are running. You don't know what's working and what's not. So we put this together. We have almost 1.5 million unique YouTube ads and landing pages. And basically, you can search them by, you know, what domain it's going to. So you can put your competitor's domain in. You could put in a specific YouTube channel, you know, a specific product name. You can go to Amazon, or you can say, hey, I want to find all the ads linking to Amazon with the keyword dog or something. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can search, and you can find all of the ads on YouTube running in your space. And then you can check out all the historical data and really find out what types of ads are working. And we've seen a lot of, you know, e-commerce specifically, a lot of what's been working recently is split screen UGC, right? So it'll be a product image and then somebody unboxing it or showing the product in action, or, you know, things like that are working extremely well right now. So we'll be able to find out what trends are working, what hooks are working, what style of video, what the landing pages are looking like what kind of offers these people are putting together. And so you can really reverse engineer what's working and apply that to your business, so you're not wasting a ton of time and money testing.
So these two websites and programs are designed to work with each other. You know, you hop on the Video Ad Vault and kind of get your data, get your research, get everything together to figure out, you know, what sort of ads should I be running and where and what type. And then you use TubeSift to put them on specific videos. Is that accurate?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so they go hand in hand, right? Like, your targeting is only as good as your ad and your offer, and your ad and your offer isn't going to work if you're not putting it in front of the right people. So, you know, two sides of the same coin, I guess, whatever you want to call that.
When you're using TubeSift, right? I mean, you can get as much research as you research and data from the video ad vault as possible. But when, if say a company is just using TubeSift or something, they, you know, search for specific videos available, how do they know which ones to prioritize or use or advertise on over other ones? I mean, is it as simple as this one has more views, so I should go with them, or what does that targeting process look like? I'm curious if you could have any insight to any of our entrepreneurs listening. What kind of is that breakdown in the boxes that need to be checked?
Right. So, I mean, honestly, even if a video doesn't have a ton of views, but it's relevant, I would still target it, because even one targeted view is going to be better than none, right? So I usually throw a few hundred in, specifically with the changes Google made, right? They actually pulled placement targeting out of campaigns with goals. And so what we're doing now is you basically have to set up a campaign without a goal, which you can still track conversions, all that good stuff. But Google's not going to optimize that campaign for you. You have to manually do it. So we've been using placement campaigns to train our pixel, right? Because they're not as scalable as they used to be. So now you have to have like hundreds and hundreds of videos in there to get it to spend. And then it'll start spending. You'll start to see some conversion pixel fires. And then that's like training Google on what type of people you want to be targeting. And then when you go with a little more broad targeting on the campaigns with the goal, that's when you start to see, it basically just helps train your pixel a lot faster and get you results, long-term results faster, is kind of what we're doing now. So really, like, any video that's related to what you're promoting is going to be good.
And I've heard, you might have some insight on this, I've heard that specific videos are like better for advertisers, or they're better for monetization, or they have more targeted if they're like 15 minutes or more. I mean, are there certain lengths of videos that are more lucrative to businesses to advertise on? I mean, are there other sort of types of videos that are more helpful? For example, someone, I don't know, doing an unboxing of a product and then advertising in that? Or is it really just based on, you know, figuring out this targeting like you were referring to?
I mean, I think it's a lot of intent. I like to call it intent targeting, because if somebody's on YouTube watching a video, you know, best whatever product it might be, for example, like best phone battery bank or something, you know, just because I have my phone here, I was like, I don't know what, just thinking of 2023 or whatever it might be, 2024, right? If somebody's searching for that, that they're actively shopping for that product or service, right? And if you have a product or service that is in that space, right, your ad pops up in front of that and you're like, hey, this is the best battery, like, it's almost like they're not even watching an ad. They're just like, oh, so like any video related works really well. I don't think that the length necessarily matters. I mean, it is, you know, as long as you're putting in front of the right person using the right marketing message, you're going to be all right.
No, that's fascinating. I'm interested in maybe the arc of how things may have changed over the last, you know, you mentioned since 2015, but even before then you were still in this space, kind of, it sounded like almost cold calling to add ads onto videos. What are some of the things that you've seen exponentially change, grow, or evolve in the 8 to 10 years since you've been in this space?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I was first getting started, there was a separate dashboard for video ads. You'd have to do like video, or I forget exactly what it was, but it was like video.googleads.com or something, or it used to be called AdWords, but so yeah, it was like video.adwords.com or something like that. You couldn't even set up a YouTube ad in the normal Google ad dashboard. You had to go to a separate one, right? So Google's really embraced YouTube ads as a product, right? And they have put a lot of time and energy into making them, for the most part, better. Some of the stuff they've done, I'm like, that made it worse. But like, you know, the whole keyword placement thing, that really sucked. But for the most part, they are, you know, they've done a good job of making pixels work with it now and being able to train pixels. And they have some really awesome AI that is helping optimize your campaigns behind the scenes and getting you better results. So they've been working very hard to make YouTube ads a better experience for both advertisers and viewers. And you know, I think they've actually done a pretty good job of it. Ad costs are up for sure, but that's like, you know, that's across the board everywhere. You know, it's not going to, ad costs aren't going down, that's for sure. But that being said, it's just more important to have a better offer and a better ad now, right?
And targeting it to make sure that you get the most bang for your buck you do have to spend a little more for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, the biggest changes I've seen is just like, honestly, Google's really embraced YouTube ads and have been running with it, doing what they can to make it a lot better. There's a lot more competition. It used to be you could throw up like any YouTube ad and, you know, it was so cheap to get views and everything that even if your ad sucked, you're still profitable. I think nowadays it's a little more important to have, I guess, like a back end, if you will, like have an actual plan. You can't be as profitable just running an ad to a sales page. You know, we used to be able to run ads to $47 sales pages all day, every day with like no funnel, and we'd be profitable. Now you need order bumps, you need upsells, you need downsells. You need a back end, right? Because a lot of times, you know, you're going to need to be able to spend a little more than you're making on your initial sale. And you're going to need to build that trust with that customer and get them to buy more from you.
And hold their hand a bit during that process. I'm curious, Justin, this may be off base. I am a big podcast listener, you know, and that's obviously a space that I see a lot of similarities between kind of like the YouTube ad model and the same with, you know, even Spotify, any really podcast method. I'm curious if maybe the price of these YouTube ads has gotten up because the competition has gone to podcasts a little bit. You know, for example, I used to listen to music in the car all the time, or I used to listen to podcasts on YouTube all the time. When I'm in a car, when I'm doing the dishes, when I'm in like a shower. Now you have an audio medium that kind of replaces that. So I'm curious, maybe your thoughts on how the proliferation of podcasts like this one may have affected the YouTube ad model in general.
Well, I mean, honestly, a lot of the podcasts that I listen to, me personally at least, they're also streaming on YouTube, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And like you can see the video, you know, it might just be the audio on my phone and Spotify, but I'm also seeing a lot of, you know, if I want to watch, like even on Spotify, I'll hear a lot of people like, hey, for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see this. And I'm like, oh, but I'm driving. I'm like, oh, I want to see that. Like, but you know, yeah. And so I think there is a lot of crossover there. Yeah. I don't know if like necessarily, I think there's just a lot more advertisers on YouTube, which is driving the cost up. There's competition there. Yeah. I don't know if necessarily that's taken away from their ad spend and they're like, hey, we need to increase the price, but it could be.
It's just more of an addendum than it is like a replacement. I'm also curious, you know, with your expertise, if most ads generally target younger, you know, when I was working in TV, I found that a lot of the audience on YouTube was like our youngest audience compared to on cable or compared to on streaming. So I'm kind of curious if a lot of the ad spends are generally for targeting younger audience, or if that kind of affects the brands that are coming in any.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, YouTube has a crazy, YouTube overall reaches more 18 to 49 year olds than any cable network in the US, right?
I totally believe that.
Very broad demographic of people. I mean, my grandparents are on YouTube watching videos, sending videos. The cool thing about targeting people on YouTube is you can actually selectively choose who you want to target, right? So, or like age groups, demographics, all that kind of stuff. Honestly, I think a lot of the younger people are on TikTok more so. YouTube is a great place to reach, you know, a little bit more of the middle-aged people. You know, I'm almost 40 or whatever, which is crazy. 37, like a lot of people my age are still on YouTube, you know, like the kind of the middle of the road. There are a lot of younger people on there as well. But I mean, I've noticed you can literally target anybody in any age group. I've actually seen, you know, with some specific affiliate campaigns in some of the health spaces and things like that, like hearing loss and different supplements and things like that. Those have been doing, I've seen those doing extremely well targeting, you know, people 55 and up, 65 and up. So, you know, people are buying across all age groups, really.
And I feel like with the increasing of cord cutting, that price might even go up, you know, because more and more and more houses and families and people in general are moving away from the cable model. That said, a lot of streaming services are adding like fast models too. You know, Netflix has introduced an ad tier. I'm curious if your model accounts for those kind of differences. You know, I mean, question I'm kind of trying to get to is, have you considered adding libraries for other services, you know, like podcasts, like a Netflix, like a cable, or if your goal is like, we just want to master YouTube, you know?
Yeah. So we've talked about adding things like, you know, Facebook and a few other things. There's other tools out there that do that. And I know we've like, our specialty is specifically YouTube. You know, we wanted to like really dial in like just what our specific platform does. And like, we're still adding some awesome feature. Like, we're getting ready to finish in like the next week or so. By the time this comes out, this will be out actually. We have a really cool AI scripting chunk, right? So you can literally like find an ad, it'll import the script and it'll write you scripts, you know, in that tone or based on that ad. If you're promoting the same kind of product, it'll do all kinds of crazy stuff. You can rewrite scripts from scratch, like all kinds of awesome stuff. So we've kind of been focusing on that, rather like just making it as good as we can for YouTube rather than branching out and adding a bunch of other stuff, you know? So no, really, I mean,
that's great.
Service YouTube advertisers, you know?
I'm curious about the actual product too. How do y'all, this may seem like a dumb question, how do you aggregate your library? I mean, you have two different libraries that you have to go through. How do you essentially find and sort all these videos in productive, timely manner for your users?
Yeah. So, I mean, YouTube's API, it all goes through Google's API. You know, we can make calls to that and pull in different data, all kinds of statistics, numbers, like all that kind of stuff. So we have a big database and we make a shitload of API calls.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got audited by Google for TubeSift, like, oh man, maybe like 2 years ago. And we're like, they're going to shut us down. And because I was like, I don't know, you know, who knows? But they like went through the whole software. They're like, how are you pulling this data? Where are you storing? Like, what's happening? It was like a terrifying month long process because we're like, they're going to revoke our access. Oh, we're so screwed. In the end, they were like, hey, you can't be storing this data for so long. You have to make fresh API calls and, you know, change this, do this. But we ended up having to get rid of the export feature and a couple other things, but we're all good. And they were like, yep, you're good. See you later. So yeah, we've actually worked with Google on the tools. So
no, and that's great. That's kind of getting to what I'm asking is how close your relationship. I mean, it sounds obviously between the, you know, the phone calls and the requests, there's obviously a relationship, but there's no real like big brother. They're constantly breathing down your neck. It's actually more transparent than one might believe.
Yeah. I mean, we're paying them to use, like, for all the API calls. We're a customer of theirs, basically. You know, I think we do help bring more people into the YouTube ads ecosystem. Like, I get invited to different Google events and things like that. I was just at Google's LA office or YouTube's office in LA like a month ago, hanging out with them. So we get to go to some of their different offices. You know, I've got my plaque here. We actually have a YouTube channel with like 110,000 subscribers in a different niche. So like yeah, I work with awesome. Them here and there, but we don't get special treatment, unfortunately. we're just another whatever to them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's one of a million to them, you know? I mean, it's gotten to be such a huge company. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious if there are other competitors in this space, you know? I mean, we've talked about, you know, people using the product, obviously being able to use Video Ad Vault to see their competitors. What about you and your competitors? Are there other people doing similar things? And if so, what separates TubeSift and Video Ad Vault from that competition?
Yeah, there are. I launched TubeSift back in 2015. When we first launched, there was a company called VRoll, and they've actually switched more to, I don't know what they're doing now, but like, long story short, they weren't finding monetized videos, right? They were just finding all the videos. So we were able to, basically I was like, hey, I wish that this software would do this. It didn't. So we made our own, right? And then TubeSift really took off. And then I cannot even count the number of people that have just launched, you know, like JVZoo launches or whatever it might be, that, you know, one off, fire up a software, sell it for a lifetime price. And then just kind of go away, go out of business, whatever it might be, stop supporting the product. And I think that because we charged monthly, we were able to continue making updates, right? Then we're constantly adding new features. We added to TubeSift recently a site search, right? So you can actually build audiences based off of websites that people have visited. So we added a tool into TubeSift that does that because we were like, hey, this type of targeting is working extremely well now. I personally run YouTube ads. I do a lot of coaching on YouTube ads. And that's, I think that's one thing that's kind of set us apart is like, we do YouTube ads. I know what's working. Like, I'm on top of what's happening. At least I try to be. And we can adapt and make our tools work based on what's happening currently, right? You know, and we, you know, there were a couple other YouTube ad libraries, but they didn't have landing pages. They didn't have all the ads. They didn't have, I mean, there was, again, a lot that I was like, man, I really wish that I could get this. And so we decided, hey, we're going to build it and we're going to make that.
And that's great that you were so involved and hands-on in the industry already to be able to know what the problems were that you could actually provide the solutions for. I'm curious if you have any advice to entrepreneurs. You mentioned that you did like a class on YouTube ads on I was wondering if you had, you know, you don't have to give us an entire crash course right now, because they can obviously watch, you know, your YouTube channel for that. I'm curious if you had a little tidbit or two for people in that space.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a lot easier than people make it out to be. Like, Google Ads is not that technical, right? I mean, obviously, you have to put a couple pixels on the conversion tracking, all that. That's with any ad platform. But the three things that it comes down to is having a solid offer. Like, no matter what, if you don't have a good offer, a good product, a good service, whatever it might be, no amount of ads is going to fix that, right? Like Facebook, YouTube, it doesn't matter. So if you have a solid product, then all you really need is a good ad. Know what types of, you know, what is your audience? Like, what language are they speaking, right? What are the keywords that are the buzzwords that they're going to understand? You know, how can you relate to them? So it's really just like having a good ad and then putting that ad in front of the right people at the right time. I mean, that's the framework that I actually teach, right? Like, solid offer, solid ad, and then, like, you know, putting an ad in front of the right person at the right time. And it's very easy to do on YouTube. They've made targeting a breeze, you know, especially with all the, I can literally jump into TubeSift and be like, hey, find me all the, if I'm selling a solar product, for example, or maybe I'm doing lead gen for solar, I can go find all the websites that are ranking for installing solar panels or whatever. You know, those people that are visiting those are interested, right? If you build an audience, you can like build retargeting audiences based off of other people's websites. It's kind of crazy. And if you think about it, it's because all the websites have Google Analytics, right? And if they don't, everyone's using Google and they're doing a Google search for, you know, this. Google knows what you're searching for and what websites you're visiting. So they have an absurd amount of first party data that as a Google Ads user, you get to tap into, right? So targeting is extremely easy. It really just comes down to, you know, having a solid ad, knowing what's working in YouTube ads specifically, you know, what your competitors are doing, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just really setting it up. So it's not that difficult to do, you know?
Is there any advice you wish you would have had when you first started, like if you could go back in time and give yourself like advice from 8 years ago or something like that, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, definitely like go all in on the software in the beginning. Originally the software was kind of I was selling like $27 information courses. Then the upsell was the software, right? It took us a while to really be like, nope, the software is the main business. The software was just kind of like an afterthought for a really long time. And I probably would have been like, hey, focus on this a lot sooner. It'll, you know, that recurring is pretty sweet. So, you know, anytime you can have a recurring offer in your pipeline, you're going to be way better off.
Awesome. Before we wrap up, Justin, I always ask my guests the same last question. In the e-commerce industry, it can be very high anxiety or stress inducing. Now, you seem pretty level-headed I'm curious if you have any sort of hobbies or interests that you practice to ensure a healthy work-life harmony and good mental hygiene.
Yeah. So, I mean, I live Silverthorne, Colorado. So I live right by Breckenridge, Keystone, A-Basin, Vail, Beaver Creek. Like, I'm within a few minutes of a ton of ski resorts. So I always go outside, basically. Like, I love the outdoors. I love hiking, being outside. I do a lot of hunting where I'm at, but really just like getting out and being in nature, right? I like archery hunting a lot, and just like going outside, chilling by myself, hiking around in the woods. Like, doesn't get, for me, that's like the ultimate reset, right? That, and you know, I'll go out with my wife and my daughter. We'll go out hiking all the time, snowboarding. Just for me personally, just being outside and disconnecting from the computer, right? I spend an absurd amount of time, maybe not as absurd, but I spend a lot of time on screens, whether like my phone, like I've got three screens in front of me right now, you know, and just being able to disconnect from those and put that aside and just, you know, get some fresh air, get some exercise, you know, stay healthy, things like that. That's always, that's been my big thing. Right. And when I was living in the city for a long time, I wasn't getting that. It was all just like, you know, work. I mean, I was building my company at the time. I do have the freedom to take off more time now, which is great, you know, as an established business. But, you know, I try and set aside a chunk of time where I'm not on my computer and I'm like outside, even like middle of the workday, like, you know, specifically the ski season, I'll just go out and I won't even come into work until lunchtime a couple days a week, just because I'm waking up early and going snowboarding in the morning. So,
well, that's cool. I wish I could do that, honestly. Some people, you know, go to the gym before. I'm definitely closer to like hit the slopes before work.
Yeah, you know, it's great.
I'm envious.
You know, and that's like specifically that's like clear your mind, you know, cruising down, like you're like in the zone, not really worrying about too much except for like what, you know, that present moment. So
that's great, man. I really appreciate that answer, and I really appreciate your time in general, Justin. Thank you so much.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to thank my guest, Justin Sardi, for joining me on the show, and come back next time when I talk with Philip Axar, the founder and CEO of Arca, a fully sustainable packaging API that allows users to fully customize their brand's packaging designs. For more information about Justin, you can connect with him on LinkedIn or follow him on Facebook at Monster Robot. To learn more about TubeSift, visit their website, tubesift.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at TubeSift, or on YouTube at TubeSift_official. And to learn more about Video Ad Vault, visit videoadvault.com. That's our show. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you come back to find more insight from the top experts in the e-commerce community. Until then.